be so bemused and bewildered and befuddled and distracted, Lord, with the confusion that the world is in, Lord. They're in confusion, Lord. It's not our confusion unless we choose to make it so. And Lord, we pray that we will be on the winning side, Lord. We'll be with you, and we'll be overcoming all these hurdles as fast as they come to us. Now, Lord, some of your people are sick, and we pray, Lord, they will receive perfect healing this night, Lord. They will be healed. Lord, you promised, you said, none of these diseases. We will not accept them. We do not believe in them, and we will not have them. Hallelujah. And Lord, we believe and claim perfect healing for everyone of your people, Lord, in this room. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, you're the healer. Hallelujah. And Lord, for our spirits also. Lord, if any among us are trapped in sin, we pray, Lord, that this night it will be revealed and that we will not be blind, but we will be aware of who we are and what we are and what we're doing. And that the spirit of deception and error that is in our land will be stripped from us and we will see truly. Now, Jesus, you are the one, Lord. Now, give us a true word tonight, we pray. And we'll be careful to praise you in the wonderful name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. We're in Nehemiah chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, studying on revival. We're studying on revival. What God is doing. Revive thy work in the midst of the years, the Bible says. Revive thy work in the midst of the years. Well, we're in the midst of the 20th century. The latter part of it. And it's time for God to revive his works. Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. By now your Bible should flop open to Nehemiah. Bob Porcelli's does. All right. Here we go. Then Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Mia. They sanctified it unto the tower of Hananiel. And next unto him builded the men of Jericho, and next to them builded Zachar the son of Imri. But the fish gate did the sons of Hasenaiah build, who also laid the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. And next unto them repaired Meremoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Koz. And next unto them repaired Meshullam, the son of Berechiah, the son of Meshezabeel. And next to them repaired Zadok, the son of Baana. And next unto them the Tekoites repaired. But their nobles put not their necks to the work of their Lord. I'm sorry, that is pronounced Tekoites. So we need to know their names because we'll be meeting them someday in glory. So they're not the Tekoites, they're the Tekoites. And their nobles. Alright, now we notice that Nehemiah is a pattern of revival. Revival starts where? With the sheep. So, God is moving in our day. And how many have heard the Wilkerson tape to this point? Quite a few. Bless your hearts. It's announced in the morning. By the night, most of the church has heard it. That's wonderful. What'd you think of it? Isn't that fine stuff? That's the real stuff. And we're fortunate to have in our time such a voice in the land. We're fortunate to have someone who is speaking by the Spirit of God in the midst of the confusion. And so Janet and others that may not have been here to get it, the tape is $1. Get it from Hank. If you don't have $1, get it on the cuff. You don't ever pay for it. You pay us up in heaven. Praise the Lord. But you need to hear. I want every family in the church, if possible, to hear this tape. Because I believe it is the voice of the Lord in our land. It's a true word in the midst of the confusion. Praise the Lord. Now you notice that our brother Wilkerson, David Wilkerson, spoke of a sudden work that the Lord is coming. How many pick that up? That the Lord is ready to do a work. I want to show you that in the scripture, that we are, that the Bible teaches clearly that before Jesus comes, he will judge his people. Before he comes, he will judge his people. And we are close to the coming of the Lord. And we are in a day when God is judging his people. Now, this is a good thing. This is not a bad thing. This is a good thing. Let me tell you why. Because, we believe that when the Lord comes, that we're going to be caught up to meet him in the clouds. Is that right? All right, now I want you to forget everything you've ever heard about that, because what we've heard has been baloney with ketchup on it. It's nonsense. It's rot. It's garbage. It's misleading. Now, what Paul was talking about, first of all, is he was comforting people concerning their relatives that had died. He wasn't talking about fleeing from the tribulation or anything else. He was talking about sorrowing, not about people whose relatives had died. It was really written for the people that are dead, the dead saints, not the living ones. But in so portraying it, he told us what is going to happen when the Lord comes. The trump is going to sound, and we're going to rise up to meet him in the air. All right, now, that moment in history is the rising of the Lord's army to meet him. It is not salvation for the rank and file or for everybody who makes a profession of Christ. It simply is not that. The Bible does not bear it out. When you go into the teachings of Jesus, you'll see that in the gospel, Matthew in particular, people are judged for the talents, people are judged for how they behaved and everything. So, you see, that doesn't tie in with this rising to meet the Lord in the air. There's a piece missing there. How can we have stripes and everything else and still rise up to meet the Lord in the air? See, it doesn't wash. It doesn't hang together. It's like what Jesus preached was one thing and what Paul is preaching was another thing. Well, it does wash and it does hang together, but not by our traditions. If you study the prophets and study Revelation and all the things the Lord said, what that is talking about is when the Lord comes, the people that are the true church, that are really, you know, we talked about the difference between the churches and the true church. And this is brought out in Revelation. How do we know that there's a difference between the true church and the churches? How do we know that? Well, we know it by the Spirit, we know it by the Word, because when the Lord spoke of the churches on earth, in seven churches of Asia, they had nothing but problems. But the Bible says about the church, it's a bride without spot or wrinkle. So we know from the Scripture, my dove, my undefiled is but one. That doesn't sound like any of the churches of Revelation, and yet they're the lampstands of God. And we look around at the churches today. We don't see any pure dove, undefiled. We see a mess. Praise the Lord. Huh? There. So we don't see a dove, undefiled, do we? We don't see a church without spot or wrinkle in the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, the measure of the stature of Christ. We see anything but that. We see a mess. So we know from the Spirit and from the Word that the church, the true church of Jesus, is in the churches. Now, how large it is, I do not know. But observation tells us that this time, if the Lord has come, it would be piteously small. Because God's blood-washed, born-again people can't make up their mind to serve God. They're still wrestling with sin. They're still wrestling with their problems, with making up their mind whether to serve the God. I can't overcome. I can't overcome. Am I overcoming? Help me. That's not the bride of the Lord. That's people wrestling for their life and trying to make their consecration. And in many cases, people who are under the chains of the devil. That's not a bride without spot or wrinkle, terrible as an army with banner, breasts like towers, fruitful, dominion, precious in his sight. That's a group of people who are trying. And most of the church today across, that I have seen, a few that I have seen, are exactly in that condition. And there's very few that are walking in the sparkling light of God and have the warfare in their life. They're on top of it through the Spirit of God. They've made up their mind. You ask me, you're doing God's will? Yes, I'm doing God's will. What do you think I am, a rebel? And they're not some far-out flaky group somewhere that's talking about things that nobody can understand. They are just ordinary Christians. And they are scarce as hen's teeth. Now, I used that expression in India, and we had so much problem with the translator on that, I finally gave up. They took this very serious, and they were trying to count the hen's teeth. No, they couldn't get it, the translator. But that's how scarce true Christians are in our day. Praise the Lord. Now, all right, if the church is without spot or wrinkle, and we see today that the church instead, and I'm talking about the blood-washed, born-again people, are full of confusion and their homes are breaking up and they have divorce. And the first thing you know, the husband's in adultery, the wife's in adultery, and they break up. This is not a bride without spot or wrinkle. Huh? Come on, now let's be sensible. It's not a bride without spot or wrinkle. But Jesus said he's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. So, and the churches in Revelation are not without spot or wrinkle. So it shows us that the churches on earth are one thing, and the bride of Christ is something else. It's taken from within the church. Alright, now, when Paul is saying, see, Paul was not counting what we count as Christianity, as Christians. He wasn't counting that. When he said we shall rise to meet him in the air, he's talking about the church. Because you look at Paul's standards. Paul says, for example, a covetous man cannot inherit the kingdom. He's not saying that a covetous man is going to be caught up to meet the Lord when he comes. Paul isn't saying that. Paul is saying if you commit adultery and raging and drunkenness and all this, you cannot inherit the kingdom. Paul is talking about a brand of Christianity that we have seen very little of when he's talking about the rapture. He's talking about a church. Now, why is that important? It's important for this reason. There will be no judgment of those people after they're caught up to meet the Lord. That is their judgment. Do you see that? That is their judgment. You do not receive your glorified body until after you are judged. You are not raised from the dead, brought up to meet the Lord in the air, crowned with glory and honor, and then judged. That is not going to happen. The coming of the Lord that Paul spoke of is the conquering by the overcomers of the last enemy, death. Everything else has been brought under their feet. They have overcome everything to that point, whether they're asleep in Jesus or whether they're alive on the earth. These are people who have overcome everything to that point, and they are going up to meet the Lord to be revealed with Him in glory. So if the Lord was to come tonight and appear, you see what kind of a state the situation is. All right, does the Bible give us a solution to this? Yes, the Bible gives us a solution to this. The Bible tells us, and this is what Wilkerson is talking about, that the Spirit is telling him. The Bible tells us that before Jesus comes, He is going to judge His people. And that's what we are in now. And thank God, because if the Lord caught us, if the Lord comes, and He's only going to take up a church without spot or wrinkle, and we are without spot or wrinkle, then, and we are not without spot or wrinkle, then we've got a problem. We're not going to rise to meet the Lord in the air and be glorified. And Revelation says that, chapter 20, verses 4 through 6, these are God's kings and priests, and on them the second death has no authority. Why? Because everything that the second death can claim is gone out of them, has been overcome. So Jesus says, you have a few names in Sardis, you shall walk with me in white, for you're worthy. Now that's the true word of God. That is the true word of God for the end of 1982. And we need to address ourselves to it, because there's no foolishness, and things are going to get rougher in your life and my life until we make our peace with God. Until God has gone into every sin of imagination, thought, word, and deed, and all self-seeking, and everything that we're waffling around, and gets at the root of obedience and sanctification, until Jesus is absolutely satisfied, we are going to burn and be shaken and have trouble. He has begun with the sheep. The revival is the sheep, for the sheep. Judgment begins where? in the house of God. And brother, sister, it does not begin after the rapture. It has to begin now. All right, now let's turn to Malachi 3 that was prophesied about tonight. And we'll see where the Bible teaches that Jesus is going to come in judgment. Now, this is the Bible background for that which David Wilkerson was saying is going to happen. This is the Bible background for it. Malachi chapter 3. And you can get set for it because it is here. It is not for 1990. It is here now. And God is going to build a wall in troublous times. He is going to come in His wrath. And in the middle of wrath, He's going to remember mercy. In other words, there's going to be judgment and wrath and revival at the same time. And that's what's going to separate between the true church and Babylon, is because there's going to be both wrath and revival. And everybody has got to decide. Either I don't like this and I want an easier brand and this is too much for me. And the moment that you say that, the moment that you enter into your heart, the devil is there with deception. And he'll prove to you from the word. He'll bring messengers to. He'll bring you signs and wonders. He's going to bring you everything. The moment that you say, there's got to be an easier way. God, you don't expect this. The moment you shirk the cross, that's why the prosperity message, which is a delusion, took the hole that it did, was because people were willing to believe they could have their cake and eat it too. There was some way around discipleship. There was some way to please God without laying down your life. And the moment that you even consider that, the devil's there. And he'll prove it to you that you're right. You have got to buy the truth. You have got to cry to God for the truth. You have got to say, oh God, forgive me for believing such a thing. We have got to repent of everything we believed about positive thinking. Because we should have known that it's psychology. It is not in the Bible. And we are just willing to believe that. And that willingness, God looks down and He says, you want to believe a lie? I'll give you a lie. And that's why the church is in the shape it's in, is because we want to believe that. We want to believe when the Bible says we are sheep for the slaughter, that does not apply to us. We won't have to have tribulation. We want to believe it. And that's why that rapture and all those other things go together. Is because we want to believe that there's some way that we can do that was different from the saints of old, that was different from Jeremiah and different from Paul and different. We want to believe it. And the moment that we do, we make ourselves a prey to deception. And we'll have a feeling that goes with it. We'll have spiritual insight. We'll have rare things from the Lord. And we'll have absolute assurance that we're right and we're in absolute deception. And the only way you can get around it is to get on your face before God. You beware any speaker you go to listen to. I'm not going to try to create a cult, say we were the only ones with the truth. I'm talking about David Wilkerson's tape. But you be careful. You remember what Jesus said? Beware of the leaven. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And when you know something is wrong, don't go near it. Because you will go to see what it's like, and the first thing you know, you go out with a little demon on your shoulder that will prove to you that you can do wrong and still be rewarded. And you'll be absolutely certain that you're right and you're wrong. And the church today is in deception. Praise the Lord. I tell you, I was beginning to doubt my own spirit. Until I heard that Wilkerson tape. And I tell you, revive me. I said, thank God that someone with a track record like that is getting, compared with my insignificant and ignominious history, somebody is preaching the truth in the land. And it stirred my bones. Because I know it's right. And I know the standard has been let down. And I don't care whether you go to India or Iceland or wherever in the world you go, the standard is down. And I know sinners need to hear the gospel, but the saints need to hear the gospel, and they need to hear the gospels. Because truth has fallen in the streets, and has fallen in the streets. And we can have the truth if we want it. But we make the decision up in here. We say, oh, I don't like that. See, you make the decision and God will send you alternatives. And you've got to cry to God. And I cry to God. I cry to God today. Don't let me be deceived by the truth. Sell it not. I don't care what it costs. I could not care less what it costs. I want the truth. I don't want my life to be a lie. I'm not married to the ministry. What does it mean to me? I'm perfectly willing to go work at any job. I've had probably 25 jobs in my life, and I found something good about all of them. This is nothing to me. I'll give it up in a minute. I want the truth. I don't care what it costs. Praise the Lord, the truth is scarce today. Scarce! And we're asleep. And we need to hold ourselves right to the mark because everything around us in our culture, including the church, is pushing us the wrong way. And telling us it's okay, it's going to be all right and everything. And when the Democrats are in, or when this or that and everything, it's not going to be! Because the world responds only to supernatural forces. It doesn't respond to the natural. I got a blurb from the university which I graduated, and I looked at the old terms and the educational jargon, and all that come out to me was the ever learning and never able to come to the truth. And the millions of dollars being spent, and billions of dollars, I guess, in research. Waste. Chasing their tail, there's no truth in it. There's no truth anywhere but in the simple presence of Jesus. Praise the Lord. And brother and sister, we need to contend for the faith which was delivered to the saints once and for all. We have to fight for it because everything around you will try to say, well, it really isn't that, and it really isn't this, and everything's okay, and you're okay, and I'm okay. That's all we're getting. We're not okay. And we need, you know what we need to do? If my people, never mind the unsaved, my people, who are called by my name, that's what God is concerned about, will humble themselves. See, that's the problem, is we get into religion and we get to be a minister or something, and we get proud. We don't want people to see our weakness. We don't want them to see that we have needs. Especially when we minister. Pride is a terrible occupational hazard of the ministry. We make a little progress and then we feel we're better. And if my people will humble themselves and pray. And when we don't pray, it's because we're proud. You can analyze it from here to kingdom come with your slide rule and your calculator. When we do not pray, it is because we are proud. We're ashamed to pray in front of our children. We're ashamed to pray in front of the church. We're ashamed. We're walking around like this. And we ought to be on our face. Shall humble themselves and pray. We're ashamed to pray in front of our husband and wife or our relatives. Our dead relatives. They come. We're ashamed. That's pride. We'll humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Not command God to do things. Seek his face. And turn from their wicked ways. When we got wicked ways, my people, then will I hear from heaven after we do these things and forgive their sin and heal their land. Our land, America, God will heal it if God's people will pray and seek his face. There's nothing else, no word, no teachings of mine, no teaching or anybody else is going to do it. Just humility and prayer and repentance and the seeking of Jesus. And if the church doesn't do it, our land is going to be lost. Lost. And we are going to suffer the same as the world. Because the only ones who are going to live like Elijah are those who have the consecration of Elijah. Praise the Lord. People say they want the riches of Abraham. Well, God will have them give up their Isaac the same as he did Abraham. The two go together. Praise the Lord. You don't have the riches of Abraham and the consecration of Ananias and Sapphira. Huh? Praise the Lord. This is where God says He'll do it prophetically. See, you have to move in the times of God. And we are in the time of judgment. That is the time we're in. We can't go preach a foo-foo-ra now. This, you know, the days of Finney, the days of the others, they had their day. And it's wonderful, and we can learn, and we should learn. But God is going to do a thing in our time that He's never done before. And we need to not be comparing ourselves by anything else. This is the day. This is the time to favor Zion. And He doesn't want us occupied with anything but Zion, with God's will. He says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me." Now, I know that John the Baptist came and announced the presence of Jesus. But Jesus is coming again, and God is going to send His messenger before His second coming. Praise the Lord. I don't know. I think it's the spirit of Elijah was on John the Baptist. Interesting. Elijah was a man of miracles. His spirit was on John. John did no miracles. John did no miracles. And yet Elijah did. You can't figure out God. You have to really go by the Spirit. What God is interested in miracles. But more than that today, God is interested in judgment. He's interested in judgment more than anything else. If we never saw another miracle, God's interested in judgment. And I believe in miracles. And I believe we're going to have miracles in our day. The Bible says we will. But judgment is more important. What's more important is your heart. Not who you win for Christ. That's not most important. Not who you prayed for and they got healed. It is your heart. And you can't cover it up with works. You can't put it off. You have to get on your face with the rest of us and say, "Oh God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. I've been proud. I've been religious pride." That's the satanic pride, the worst kind of pride there is, religious pride. I've allowed it to creep into me. I'm careless. I'm not giving it my best shot. I'm asleep in Zion. And say, "God, have mercy on me. And shake me and strip me till there's nothing left. Do whatever you have to do, but don't let me go down the drain with the church in America. Don't let it happen." And you have to do it as an individual. There's no guarantee. There's another person in your family who will go with you. There's no guarantee. It's between you and God. It's between you and God. And I like the part where Wilkerson said, you go into that chamber and Jesus closed the door and you're just there with Jesus. And that's the way it is. You can't bring your wife. You can't bring your pastor. You can't bring your counselor, your tapes, your books, or anything else. It's just little old you and Jesus face to face. And He said, "Now let's talk plain talk." And He begins to show you your life. And brother, now's the time. Now's the time. You say, when's the judgment seat of Christ? I'll tell you when I believe. I believe the judgment seat of Christ started on the day of Pentecost, when the tongues of fire came. Now I believe that's when it started. Because Peter said in those days, the time has come, the judgment must begin in the house of God. And I believe the tongues of fire meant that judgment had come on the house of God. And I believe it will finish at the great white throne. And the whole thing is one judgment seat. And we are in it right now. We are in the judgment seat of Christ right now. You and I as individuals will be passing before Him before we're caught up to meet the Lord in the air and are glorified. And if we don't pass the judgment down here, we will not be caught up, because that would be our destruction, would be to caught up in our indecision to meet Jesus. It's not biblical. It's not biblical. It's not biblical. It's error. It's error, and it's in the church. I will send, and He shall prepare the way. This is the day that God is sending word and everything else to prepare the way of Jesus. He's coming, just like Wilkerson said. He is coming. I know it. God gave me a confirmation before I heard the tape that Jesus is coming into His church. He's coming into His church. He's not going to be someone we learn about. He's going to be here. He's going to be among us. That's what the Bible promised. Now, I'm not talking about His coming in the clouds. I'm talking about His presence in the church prior to His coming in the clouds. He is coming, saints. He is coming into our lives in a way we never believed was possible. And I see it in the types. I see it in the Feast of Tabernacles. We're coming to the Feast of Tabernacles, and Jesus is coming. And when He comes, brother, it's going to be everything in our life is going to be thrown out before the Lord to be judged. Thank God for it. Can you say thank God for it? You don't want to go through life half backslid, comparing yourself by the norm that prevails today, and die in that condition, and then have the trumpet blown. Because your condition isn't going to be changed. You're going to be rise up to continue just the way you are. There's nothing to change it. The change only comes as we deal with Jesus. And this life is given to us to do that. And so we have to overcome now. There's no time. When the Lord comes, we simply will not be raised. We would be destroyed in His presence. The only ones who will be raised are His kings and priests, those who have overcome. I'm telling you, it's the truth. I don't care if there's five of them. This won't change the Bible. That's it. And if you don't do what God says, you will be left out. I don't care if you come to Christian Life Fellowship. From now on, you have a beard to your shoestring. It will make no difference. You will not change the Word of God. You will not make it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's not going to go our way. We've got to go God's way. We've got to go God's way. And I've got to tell you the truth. I don't want you looking at me and saying, Brother Thompson, you made it kind of clear, but not real clear. I'm trying to make it real clear to you. We are not going to make it until we have got everything on the line. And you can't take another person with you. You can pray for your relatives and God will bless them and give them a place in His kingdom if you pray and stay true to God. I'm talking about the first resurrection. I'm talking about rising to be manifested with Jesus. You have to be judged first, because that bride is going to be without spot or wrinkle or blemish or any such thing. And God has come to you and me now to do it. Hallelujah. Every time I think of it, I get excited. I want to go through it. I want God to judge me. I want the best. I want to go forward in God. I see a new vision. I see more of God and I want it. I'm not content until I stand in the oven of His presence. And He can't find one thing wrong. He says, Thompson, you're here. That's all I care about, brother. Everything else goes by the board. I want to hear, Thompson, you made it. Books or no books. I don't care if the books make it. I want to make it. I've done my best with those books. And tapes and everything else. But you see, it's a personal thing. It's a personal thing. And there can't be anything in our lives, anything that is even questionable. Because the bride is not questionable. There's no questionable member in the bride. Everyone is true as steel. And you can be there. That's your choice. Or you can muck around and say, well, I don't know. And it's too hard. And poor me. You'll never make it. You'll never make it in 18 millennium. You won't make it. You've got to at least speak courage and victory and say, I can't make it, but Jesus can make it, and I'm here, and I'm a candidate, and do something. You can make it. But if you don't, and you get talked out of it by the television, or your friends, or whoever, you won't make it, and it'll be your own fault. I'm telling you the truth. Now, God's going to come to make us ready. But it's up to us how we respond to the pressures that are going to be put on us in the coming year. And now, I can't even say we're going to make the coming year. We shouldn't speak of the future. The issue is only tonight. And if God gives us another day, praise the Lord. But there's no delay. The vision is now. The appointed time is now. It's not later. We're being tried now. And right now, while I'm talking, God is judging my heart and judging yours. We don't have time left to fool around and say, I'll make up my mind later. You make it up tonight. This may be your last chance. As I've heard that before. Well, maybe you'll hear it again. Maybe you won't. But I can't afford to say there's going to be a Tuesday night to preach again. Because there may not be no Tuesday night to preach again. So you've got to make up your mind. God is moving. And the Lord whom you seek, and we're seeking the Lord, shall suddenly come to His temple. Now, saints, look with me. Reason with me from the Scripture. When is this going to take place? It did not take place when Jesus came the first time. He did not come to His temple. See, He did not come. He's born in a manger. He did not come to His temple. All right, let's see when it's going to come. Is it going to come after He comes in the clouds of glory? Well, that's ridiculous. He's not going to come and judge his church after he appears in the clouds of glory. That's the climax. So it has got to come between. And it didn't come before he was born. So it's got to come sometime between his birth in the manger and his second coming. It has to be between the two comings. Don't you see that? And the scriptures point out that it will come right at the end. See, it's a preparation for his coming. Now, this is the scriptural support for what Wilkerson is teaching, and there was many, many others, but this is probably the clearest in the Bible. He shall suddenly come to his temple. Now, you are his temple. He's not going to announce his coming a long ways in advance. He's going to come suddenly. He's going to come upon you, and where you are, you are going to have to grapple with God. He is coming to you personally. You are going to see him. You're going to be aware of him. We never thought such a thing would be. We picture the future out there somewhere. He'll come in the clouds. I'm talking about reality in the time in which we are living. Jesus is coming to us personally. He's going to suddenly come to his temple. And he wants to find you seeking him with all your heart. Because wherever you're waffling, somebody you haven't forgiven, some lie that you haven't made right, something that's not, all of a sudden it's going to be there. And he says, the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. That's Jesus. See? We delight in Jesus. Everybody delights in Jesus. You know, who can say a bad word about Jesus? He's wonderful. He's wonderful. All the people that are called by God's name delight in Jesus. Because we don't know what he's like. See, we only see the glory, and we should have the glory. We should keep our eyes on the glory. But there's another side of Jesus. And he's not like a parent that indulges a child. He's strict. He says, this is what I want. I don't want it any other way. The Lord, not the Savior, the Lord whom you seek, shall suddenly come to his temple. When? It has to be between the two comings. It wasn't before the first one, and it didn't happen at the first one. And this is not his coming in the clouds of glory. This is his coming to his church. That we studied in John 14, you shall see me. How shall we see you? I will appear to you, not to the world, but to you. This is John 14, verses 18 through 23. This is the scriptural basis for the coming of the Lord in the Feast of Tabernacles. Right in front of our noses. Behold, he shall come. But who may abide the day of his coming? Now see, that's where the church is in deception about the coming of Jesus. Amos says, I wrote it down, Amos chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. He says, woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. Woe unto you. The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. It's a day of gloom. That's what it says. And no joy in it. It says, if a man ran from a lion and a bear bit him. That's what the Bible says. That isn't what our tradition says. That's what the Bible says. Our tradition says we're going to have a picnic in the air. The Bible says, who may abide the day of his coming? And if we couldn't abide the day of his coming now, what would we do when he appears in the clouds? Oh, well, then I'll be resurrected. No, that's nonsense. The glorified body which will be given when Jesus comes is the reward of the overcomer. You not get it and then be judged. You see, the reason Adam was put out of the garden was because if he had eaten of that tree, he would have lived forever in his flesh. See, he would have lived in his body. And yet he had sin in his heart, unjudged sin. Now God, in mercy to Adam, put him out. Because if he had gotten at that tree, he would have lived forever in sin. You know what his destiny had to be? Tartarus. He would have had to have been cast down with the angels of sin because he would have been an immortal creature. But God, in his love for Adam, said, no, wait, buddy, keep away from that tree. Because once you eat of that tree, your doom is sealed. You wait until I have a chance to provide an atonement. And I can give you a chance to get cleared before me through the blood of my son. Then you can eat of the tree, because nobody eats of that tree until he overcomes. Don't you see that? Because if God came, and here you are, serving the Lord afar off, unconfessed sin in your heart, and God glorified your body, you would be an immortal creature with sin in you, just like a fallen angel. You would go to Tartarus. You cannot eat the tree of life until you overcome. You cannot gain access to the New Jerusalem. You read it in Revelation 22. You have to have right
to enter the city. A right to eat of the tree of life. And that comes by working through the blood and grace of and the Holy Spirit of God until your sins are made right in the sight of God. And brother, sister, that's judgment. That's what judgment is. Judgment is not God coming to destroy us. Judgment is God coming to us to deal with us concerning our lives. And the atonement has been made. The blood is ready. The Spirit is ready. God is ready to forgive us and make us ready for the glorified body. But he will not do it without judging us first. And when he judges us, we better not be watching the ball game. We better not be distracted with houses and lands and interest. We better, because when God speaks, he speaks so that you have got to have your mind on him. If you don't have your mind on him, you can miss it. You can turn aside to later, later, later. And the Spirit of God is like a dove and he'll leave. And you'll be left to go your own way and the devil will convince you you're doing fine. You can miss the day of your visitation. You've got to be on your toes the moment the Lord comes and stands and knocks the door. You have to be there, come in, and open the door. And if you miss it because you're distracted or later, it'll never happen to you again. Never, 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 never again will you have a chance. See? He that is holy, let him be holy still. Now, if you have turned aside the Lord in time past, I tell you one word. Remember Lot's wife. And God is taking us out of Sodom right now. Taking us out of Sodom right now. God is building an ark right now. Right now. Not later. Now. And people are marrying and giving in marriage and building and planning. And many times God had dealt with Lot's wife, and many times God had dealt with Lot. And Lot wouldn't have been spared except for Abraham. And Lot's wife wasn't spared because there came a last summons, and she did what she always did. She second-guessed God and counted on his mercy, and she was destroyed. And Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. There'll come a time and you'll put off God once too often. And her sin was not a great one. She turned and looked at her sons-in-law. That's all she did was turn and look back. That's not a great sin. That's not adultery. That's not against the Ten Commandments. That's no great sin. That's a little thing. A little thing. Just a tiny thing. Don't look back. Just a tiny thing. She died an eternal death. She died under eternal fire that come down and destroyed Sodom. Jude says that's an eternal fire. And God is not messing around. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. And you put off the Lord and put up the Lord and fiddle around and fool around. Everything will be the same. And you do that once too often. And your number is over. God says, that is the last time I am not dealing with them anymore. That's what the Bible says. That's what it teaches. We're not dealing with foolishness. We're not dealing with sentiment. We're not dealing with flesh and blood. We're dealing with a spirit. And he gives his word. He says, I am God. I cannot lie. And God can do no more for us than he's done. He's given his son upon the cross. He's given us the blood of Jesus and his Holy Spirit. And now he's come to judge us so that we can eat of the tree of life. But we're not going to get in there by quoting the four steps of salvation. That isn't going to save anybody. What saves us is when we interact with the blood of Jesus and we confess our sins and repent of them through the Holy Ghost and the Word of God. That's what saves us. Not our profession of faith. That doesn't save anybody. That's calling Jesus Lord and not doing what he says. Praise the Lord. Now the flood's coming, people. The flood's coming. And it's not those that hear Jesus' word, but it's those who do what he says whose house is going to stand. You can stand when that flood comes and yell, Jesus, and I know everybody in the church, and where's the pastor, and everything you want to, your house is going to go down. Because you did not do what he said. These are the times we're living in. We're at that day. We've been preaching about it for 7 years. Well, it's here. Who may abide the day of his coming? That's a question. He doesn't say everybody's going to abide it. The question is raised. That God is raising that question today. Who shall stand when he appears? Now, Jesus said in John 14, I will appear to you. How will you appear to us and not to the world? See? He says, I'll come and take up my dwelling in you. He's going to appear to us. And before tabernacles comes the day of atonement. The moment the king comes and trumpets, he starts a warfare. See, he starts a warfare.
And that's where we're at. That's what the prophecy was about tonight. This is part of the warfare. And we're not there yet. We let ourselves get distracted with Christmas, with this, with that, with the next thing. We need to get back to business.
Who shall stand? For he is like a refiner's fire. Well, that's fine. Jesus comes and he's like a fire under a pot of lead. Or where silver is smelted, or where gold is smelted. So that's how Jesus comes. When he comes to you and me, this is not his coming to the world. This is his coming to the sons of Levi. He comes to us. He is a fire burning.
We say, what's gone wrong, Lord? Everything in my life is burning up. This is gone wrong. That's gone wrong. I'm in confusion. That's the place where you're supposed to be. That's where you're supposed to be. And thank God for it.
Because God has taken out of you your self-will and sin and love of sin. Love of the world. So the fire, how hot is it going to get? It's going to get hot enough. Huh? It's going to get hot enough. It's going to get so hot that everything in there that can't stand the fire begins to burn. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He's like Fuller's soap. Did you ever get washed with strong laundry soap? I mean, not the stuff they put out now that's kind of like cream cheese in a package. I mean soap with lye in it. Laundry soap. That's the kind of soap Jesus is like. It's not like some of these perfume business. It's strong soap. As a refiner and purifier of silver. That's redemption. Silver represents redemption in the Bible. We've been redeemed, but now our redemption has to be purified by fire. So you can't just get redemption as an ore. It has to be, because with the silver, see, there's the ore isn't pure. He's not going to have a bride that isn't pure. It's still got imperfection. He's not going to do it. She's going to be pure. And has to be refined silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi. It has nothing to do with the world whatsoever. This has nothing to do. The world will be completely ignorant. All the world will know there's an uproar going on. Wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, tornadoes. That's all that'll be on the television. And here you'll be sitting in your house and saying, what in the world happened to me and my family? It has nothing to do with the outside. It has to do with Jesus has come to you to get you ready for his coming. And he's judging you. And it's going to happen. And it's... Next year may be a year of tears. It may very well be a year of tears, both for the world and for the church. But there's going to be glory in it. See, the Lord hasn't come to us to destroy us. If God had written us off, he wouldn't bother judging us. He wouldn't bother with it. Why make us miserable for no purpose? He's already written us off. He takes no desire in tormenting us. The reason that the Lord is coming is because we have such an opportunity. He's coming to the choice. He's coming to those that seek him. He's coming to those that are worshiping him because he sees a possibility that we can be in the bride. If God had written us off, my words mean nothing to you. We'll be dealt with later. I'm talking about God's best. It's what he's going to deal with today. And if we are called to God's best, we have got to lay hold upon the highest. We cannot say, I'll be 60-fold. We cannot say, I'll be 30-fold. Because if God has called you to 100-fold, that's the only way he'll deal with you. I'm afraid my preaching in this respect has caused some error. You cannot say, you know, like you can on a game show, well, I'll settle for what I've got. It does not work that way. The kingdom works according to predestination and election. And if God has even contributed to you or entrusted you with such a word as he's given in the church tonight, and you think of a fraction of people in the world that have any concept of what we're talking about, any concept of it, and you get some idea of what God is entrusting to you and entrusting to me. And God will not judge you by those that he hasn't entrusted stuff to. God will judge you in one terms, and that is at 100-fold. That's all God is dealing with you about. And you either lay hold on it and say, God, thank you for calling me for this. I'm going to lay hold on it. Or, boy, you take your chances of losing everything.
You can't say, I'm going to go for a second level. God doesn't work that way. People that are called to the second level will have to hump to make that level. And people that are called to the third level will have to hump to make that level. Because they're called according to their capacity and predestination and election. And if God didn't see the stuff in you, He wouldn't challenge you. If He didn't think it was possible, He wouldn't waste time. God doesn't waste time, people, money, anything. God doesn't waste anything. And God is putting the challenge to you and me because it's possible. But it will take every gnat's whisker of determination and attention that you can give it. And if you don't, you're going to miss. We have to labor to make our calling an election. Sure. And if God has called you to a front rank in His kingdom, to a high place, to sit at His table, to be as fruitful as Abraham, God has called you this, and He looks down and here you're clay and I'm clay, just dust of the ground, and the Almighty God says, I have called you to be a brother to my Son of the Lord Jesus, to be part of His body, and you say, no, I'm interested in this and that and the other, and I've got to have my TV, and I've got to have this, and I've got to have that. What do you think God will think?
He'll take your crown, He'll give it to another. That's the way He does. And you'll end up naked and miserable and wretched, and you go into eternity and say, I could have been one of them that shine like the stars, but I traded my birthright for glass, steel, a melody, a little fun, flesh. I traded an eternal kingdom, an eternal crown. That's the issue today. Just as bald as that. And it isn't next year. It's now. Now. God speaks to a man like that, speaking to a man like that and telling him those things. God doesn't do that. David Wilkerson didn't make that up. That's God. And we have to have ears to hear. Ears to hear. This is what the Spirit is saying. This is what the Spirit is saying in this church. Right now. We have ears to hear. If you don't believe me, get on your face and pray and ask God what He's saying to this church. He's not saying you're all doing swell. He's saying, I love you, I've given myself for you, I've presented to you a challenge. Now it's up to you to lay hold. That's what God is saying. Don't let down for one second. You can't start serving God after Christmas. That's the devil's trick. You have to serve God tonight. Christmas may never come. Well, it's always come. Where is the promise of His coming? All things continue as they were since I was a boy. That'll be true till the moment comes, and then where? And the Lord will come suddenly to His temple. And it won't be like when you was a boy. That's right. And He can do nothing but warn people. And He will purge them, the sons of Levi, as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of the Lord in Judah and Jerusalem be pleasing. See, what we're preaching tonight, glory's going to follow. Glory that the world has never seen. Glory that the church has never seen is going to follow this judgment. For those who make it, glory, God has got a glory for us. God is coming to dwell in us visibly. And the world will actually see God in us. That's what's in the future. And we'll be able to pray and call unto the Lord. Pour out your Spirit upon all flesh. We'll be able to shut up heaven. We'll be able to do all these things. Not that we have power, but because the Lord delights. See, the earth means nothing to the Lord. It's the people. Do you understand me? It's the people that make it worthwhile. In particular, the bride. And when God gets the bride where she wants, then it is His delight. And the bride will not come here in the Lord, do this, give me $1,000, and all that garbage, that misleading stuff, false Christ, antichrist teaching. That's not how you deal with Jesus. I command you to do this and that. What an abomination. That isn't the way it works. It works in love. When the Lord is pleased with us, He wants to do things because He delights in us. And His joy is in us. And then we don't, I command you. We say, Jesus, we love you, and this is your desire, and this is our desire. Fulfill our joy. Come, pour out your Spirit upon all flesh. That's how it's going to work. With these fewer many, or however many is in the bride. That's how it's going to work. They'll have all power. Not because they have found the formula, but because
Jesus is pleased with them, and he dwells in them. And whatever they ask, it will be done. That's what the Bible says. Praise the Lord. You see the false doctrine that's crept in? We find this thing apart from Jesus, and now we got power to work miracles. That's an abomination. That's dangerous. It's nothing to do with the gospel. Jesus is seeking a bride, not people that found the secret of his power. Bride, someone to love, someone to give himself for, with all his power. And he's just waiting to give himself with all of his power when we're willing to get in love with him to the extent that he wants. See, then it shall be pleasant. And instead of coming and giving an offering that God can't even stand, like bratty kids, he will look down upon a broken heart and someone who loves the Lord and say, Lord, I used to love the world, and now I'm in love with you, and you're everything to me. Then the Lord says, wow-wee, that is terrific. That is what I did the whole thing for, just to hear a few people talk like that. And then he comes down and he says, now command me. See the difference? That's all the difference in the world. Now just tell me what you want, honey. I've got the authority. See, well, boy, there can't be anything in there that's insincere. We've got to lay down our lives unto the death to get into that place. And we don't get into that place so we get power. We get into that place because that's the place to which God has called us. And because we love Jesus and we want to please him. And that he says, it'd be pleasant as in the days of old, as in former years. And I will come near to you in judgment. And Peter says, judgment begins. See, God judges the living and the dead. And he's come to judge the living. The house of God. Now, 1982, the few days that are left. God has come to judge us. We make our decision in our heart and God weighs it. He will never get it again. This is the hour of our visitation. You say, well, it's just Bethlehem. You know, it's just... there's nothing going on. I don't see anything. I don't see anything spectacular. There wasn't nothing spectacular about that manger either. That's the way God works, low key. And it's hidden from the wise and the prudent. And I'll tell you another thing. You've got to earn it. Not in the sense that we can earn salvation, but in the sense, if God doesn't find you worthy, you won't even be in the place to hear the word when it comes. You say, I go to church anytime I please. Oh, no, you can't. And when God gets ready to reveal himself in his fullness, if you do not deserve to be there, there'll something come up. Mark my words, I've seen it happen over and over again with people. I know there's times when God's given a word that's just exactly what they needed and would have helped them, would have brought them to victory, and they weren't here. And I know why they weren't here. Because God did not find them worthy of that victory. That's exactly true. Now hear me. Something will come up and prevent you from coming. You go out and all four tires of your car will be flat. The time when God has your biscuit. You say, God doesn't love me. Yes, he does. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. You have got to earn that privilege of being in the right time, at the right place. Now, you can gainsay me and say, that's not so. I don't care. I've seen it work with people. And I just said, oh God, that was for them. That would have helped them. That would have brought them out of the woods. And they weren't here. No, they weren't here because God didn't let them come. Because they had not cut the mustard with God. And so they're going to go another route. Until God says, now you're ready. So you only defeat yourself. And I defeat myself. Unless I give it everything I've got. I will not be in the right place at the right time. That we have to be eligible. You can sell it, lose it, simply. He says, I will come near to you to judgment. Say, judgment begins in the household of God, and I will be a swift witness, and God gave me that this morning in prayer, against the sorcerers. Now, I think we have a lot of sorcery in Pentecost. We're looking for mystical things to work, and we've got to watch that tendency. We who are in the overcoming life have a tendency to be strangely mystical. God isn't in all this wizards that peep and mutter. God is plain common sense. You and the dog and cat in your kitchen and your car. That's where God works. Not in these way out meetings where people prophesy over one another. There's a place for that. And I encourage that. And I believe in home meetings. And I believe in prayer. But let me balance it. Don't lose perspective. There's a place for personal prophecy. There's a place for home meetings and to go to a person's home. That's great. I mean, would to God every person in this church had a home meeting. If you want a church to grow, that's the way to grow. Is there everybody bringing in people? Just pray, study the Bible, have it every day in your basement. Wonderful. I'll help you if I can. Be great if everybody in the church had a home meeting. I mean, I'm serious. But watch the tendency of little spiritual groups to say, we're more spiritual than the rest of the guys. Look how spiritual we are. Boy, don't we feel spiritual. Watch that. That isn't where God is. God's down in the business of your life. He's plain. He's practical. And the rest is sorcery. So watch it. Be careful. Because, see, we're people who live by the Spirit. And that's where you can get into superstition and things that are not wholesome. They won't stand the light of day. The person in the world looks at it and he says, what are those nuts up to? So watch it. When the average guy in the street looks at Jesus, he doesn't say he's a nut. He says, oh God, my daughter's at home sick. Can you do anything? You know, the ruler of the synagogue. The ruler of the synagogue comes to Jesus. With the reputation Jesus had, the ruler of the synagogue comes. Why did he come? Because his daughter died. He didn't say, you're a flaky religious nut. He says, oh, Jesus, my daughter died. See? So if you got the stuff, people of the world aren't going to call you a nut. They call you a nut when you're acting like a nut. When they can't understand you because you're peeping and muttering. But when you've got the stuff, the world will recognize it because they got daughters at home that are dead. And they need help. And they'll call upon you when they can see that you've got the stuff. Now, I'm not talking about persecution. I'm talking about the average person. They need help. And you've got the answer. So you don't have to be a religious nut and say, look what I am. Because it's sorcery. And he says, against the adulterers. Now, I spoke this morning about, I had the thing about God's going to come witness against the adulterers. And I felt that that was natural. And after the service, a lady came up and said that she had a dream some months ago. She didn't tell the church. But she saw a cloud coming in to this church. That was a black cloud. And it was a cloud of adultery and fornication. And actually she didn't want to tell the church. It didn't sound very positive. And she said she had the feeling that it was not spiritual but natural. Now listen. If you're here tonight. And you're flirting. With anything that is unclean. You are in trouble. You are close to the fire. You are close to burning. I don't care how right it seems or how natural it seems or how delightful it seems or anything else. You are in bad trouble. And you need to get it straightened out right away. Because God is impressing on our minds that this is going to be a challenge to this assembly. So God says, I will be a swift witness and God will come suddenly. And you will be brought down in shame and humiliation and weakness. And you'll be lucky if you ever rise again. Because it takes a very strong person to be brought that low and to come back. So you're gambling with your eternal soul. You're playing with hell fire. So you be super careful about anything that is not as morally straight as a string. I mean thinking, reading, imagining, jokes, associations, flirtations, anything that is not puritanical, you beware because that is Satan and he has got more than one Christian that way. So keep your life morally pure. We're in a cesspool in our nation of moral filth. And you say it feels so right, you'll go to hell. That's where you'll go, feeling right, till you get in, your feet in the fire. It feels so right. Don't you know that's the devil causing you to feel right and feel good? and against the false swearers, people who make an oath and break it. We're in a day when people give their word and then break it because they weren't happy. When you give your word, stay with it. You give your word at the marriage altar, stay with it. Once you give your word, stay with it. Praise the Lord. If you can't keep it, don't make it. And against those who oppress the hireling and his wages, we've got to watch that, because in our day, the idea is dog eat dog. No, we have consideration for people. It is not put down another guy so we can get his job. Or oppress the hireling. We've got to have mercy on people and see that everybody gets his proper amount of money and his hireling. The widow, the fatherless, children, and that turn aside the stranger from his rights. See, he's talking only to the church now. Not talking to the world. He's talking about things that go on in the church. And do not fear men, saith the Lord of hosts. Saints, I tell you, the message, God, according to the scripture, is going to come to his church before he comes in the clouds of glory. And he is coming to purify his people. It is a coming. It's not doctrine. It is a coming of Jesus, so that he's here in our midst. And when he comes, he is a fire. He is not a shepherd. He is not your best friend. He comes as a fire, so that when he comes in the clouds, you can rise to meet him in the glory. You'll have no judgment after that. Your judgment is over. So on such, the second death has no authority. And they are the only ones who will be caught up to meet Jesus in the air. Now let's pray. Lord Jesus, we've delivered your word as faithfully as we know. Lord, we've gone straight against the grain. We have cut right across the prevalent teaching among the born-again people, Lord. We've cut right across it. And we have done so deliberately, Lord, because it is in error, and we know it, and we are sounding the alarm in your holy mountain, Lord. We are sounding the alarm that we have believed many, many lies. And we believe that Christians will not be rewarded according to their works. We believe that Christians will be caught up, even though they are not disciples. And Lord, your word does not teach it. And so we have come right across it, Lord, and we'll continue by the strength that you give us to preach only what you have said in your word, and to hold people to it, Lord, until you come. Now give us the strength to do this, Lord, because we cannot do it in our own strength. We cannot hold the standard that you have set, Lord, in our own strength. We have got to have health and strength and wisdom from you to do it, Lord. We're not able in ourselves to hold up the standard. Now you said, Lord, if my people, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then you would hear from heaven and forgive our sin and heal our land. I wonder, while every head is bowed and we're thinking these things, because they are real, people, they are real. And if you're here tonight and you know that you are not 100% solid in, sin is confessed, and you're on top of it through the Spirit, I want you to come up to the altar, and we'll have a moment of prayer, 10 minutes of prayer or so, and then Hank will go for the children. It'll only take 10 minutes to get your act together, but you're going to have to make a step. I want you to make a step, because you're going to go back into the world culture, and it's going to be business as usual. And you've missed the point. Praise the Lord. So if you're here, will you get up out of your chair and come to this altar? And by so doing, tell God you are through waffling. You are going to serve the Lord. Now we've only got a short time. I want you to come. And I know how easy it is to lose that cutting edge. But I tell you, we are here. We are here. And the judgment is upon us. The judgment is upon us. Now the people at the altar are telling the Lord that they want to be judged, and they are putting away the evil and the lack of perfect consecration. And if you are here, get up out of your pew and get down here. And if pride is hindering you, you should get down here, because you're not humbling yourself to pray. And yet you know that it's not right. You know that you're second-guessing the situation. And if that's true, I want you to come down. I've delivered my soul. I've told you the best that I know, straight as I know it. Never mind what other people think. You're going to be closeted with Jesus. Never mind what they think. Get yourself down here and tell God what the situation is. Not me, God. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Don't let your pride stand in the way. Listen, we all from one time to another have to get down on our face before God. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, humble themselves, humble themselves and pray. And if your pride is standing in the way, you're bound with the devil. Just face it, you're bound. And we'll help you if we can. But you've got to get your feet under you and get down here. Praise the Lord. Father, help us in the day of judgment. Oh God, help us, Lord, to humble ourselves and pray and seek your face. Lord God, we want it right with you, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, tonight's the night, Lord. Tonight, my God, help us. And give us the truth, Lord. Give us the truth. Oh, Jesus. Burn out that which is less than your best. Oh, God, that has come short of your glory. Oh, Lord, where we're compromising, burn it, burn it, burn it, burn it, burn it. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, burn it, Lord. Search the heart. Search our motives. Search our imaginations. Oh, God, if they're not pure in your sight, help us to humble ourselves. Help us to humble ourselves. Help us to humble ourselves and pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways. Oh, Lord God, help us. Help us. Help us. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Lord, reveal yourself unto us, Lord. Come, and in your glory, in your fire of your presence, reveal yourself to us, Lord. In the fire of your presence, oh, Jesus. 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 We confess to you the adulterous thoughts, the things that are not right, before you bring them into the light and shout them from the housetops, Lord. Oh, God, reveal the secrets of the heart. Burn them with fire. Make us so uncomfortable we can't stand it, Lord. Hallelujah. Bring it all out into the open. Yes, Lord, save us. Lord, in the day of your visitation, hallelujah, we call upon your name in the day of visitation, Lord. Oh, God, let your fire be upon each life. Oh, let your fire be upon each life. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, let your fire be upon each life. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to ask Leslie and Sherry to work at the altar. And if you need deliverance from something, raise one hand, one hand, if you want Sherry and Leslie, experience and deliverance, to come and pray with you and take communion with you. Raise one hand if you want deliverance. Praise the Lord. And we'll have someone come. And Leslie and Sherry come and minister at the altar. Praise the Lord. Raise one hand so we'll know you're not praising, but you are seeking deliverance. Praise the Lord. Don't let this night go by. This is God's hour of visitation. Praise your name. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Make sure your own heart is right. Praise the Lord. Don't look at these up here. Make your own program. Right. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we repent before you. We seek your face. We seek your face, Lord. Bring every work into the light, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bring every work unto judgment, Lord. Bring every work unto judgment, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. Lord, we seek your face. Oh God, that we might make our consecration. Lord, take from us all that is not holy on the altar. Oh yes, Lord, let your fire burn, let your fire burn. Jesus, Jesus, we confess unto you our sins, Lord. Oh yes, Lord, help us, Lord, to make our consecration perfect. This Sunday night, Lord, make it all right. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Anyone else needs special help, just raise your hand. Otherwise, just seek the face of God, seek his presence. Seek his presence. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Just seek his presence. Praise your wonderful name. Oh, we repent. Get our hearts right for the year that's coming up. Praise his wonderful name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. If you still have not come and you know you should, you better come up. Praise the Lord. God is giving us a strong word. Just come up and make it right. Show God you mean business. Yes, Lord. By his grace. By his grace. Put out all unforgiveness. Put out everything that is not pleasing to him. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. We call upon your name. We call upon your name, Lord. Come to us. Come to us, your presence, Lord. The fire of your presence. Jesus. Jesus. Draw near to us. Come in your presence, Lord. Draw near to us, Lord. Draw near to us, Lord. We seek your face. Hallelujah. Oh, listen, if you're here tonight, if you're here tonight and it isn't right, you make it right tonight. Hallelujah. I feel in the Lord that not everybody is coming to the place with the Lord that he wants. I don't feel peace. And Jesus would have you to have a tender heart before him. Hallelujah. This is your hour of visitation. And it is time. And the Lord is looking down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To see whose heart is bright in his sight. If your heart is not right in his sight, you make it right. Hallelujah. The Lord is still dealing. He is still dealing. He is still judging. He is still dealing. Get it all out. Get it all out. Confess it. Husband to wife. Wife to husband. Get it out. Hallelujah. Get it all out of your soul. Praise your name, Lord. We humble ourselves. We pray. We seek your face. Oh, yes, Lord. Draw nigh unto us. Be a swift witness against the adulterers. Oh, yes, Lord. Be a swift witness against the adulterers, Lord. Hallelujah. Put your fire on that which is not clean, Lord. Put your fire on it. Convict, Lord. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Oh, God, put your fear in all that is not right, Lord. Put your fear into it, Lord. Bring conviction upon us, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Give us a vision of hell. Give us a vision of hell, Lord, of the fire. Lord, that we may repent. Hallelujah. Give us a vision of Jesus coming as a refining fire. Oh, yes, Lord. Make sure it is all out. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord is judging tonight. Judging. Jesus is here and he's judging. And there are things that are not right in his sight. There are things that are not right in his sight. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, God, help, Lord. Help each one to make a clean breast of it, Lord. To repent. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we don't want to learn the hard way, Lord. Oh, God, help each one, Lord, to make a clean break. A clean breast of it, Lord. You got it all out into the before you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Help us, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Convict of sin, Lord. Convict of lukewarmness. Convict of worldliness. Convict of unbelief. Convict of the things that are not right, Lord. Be a swift witness against the adulterers. Come down on all lusts, Lord. Come down with your fire on that satanic thing. Cleanse it, Lord. We want no adultery in this church, Lord, and no fornication, and nothing that is not clean and holy. Yes, Lord. Put your fire on it. Judge it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we cry unto thee. We cry unto thee. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. Worry about your own sins. Don't worry about anybody else's. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask those that want to stay praying, just stay right here and we'll serve communion at the altar. If you want to go back with your family, go back with your family. But if you want it, we'll serve it right here at the altar. It's just whatever you want. And make your peace with God. And when you take the body and blood of Jesus, make sure that you have naught against the soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nothing against anyone. And that there is nothing in your life that is not consecrated. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says that if we take the communion and our hearts are not right with God, it's judgment. And we are in that day, people. So if you want to stay at the altar, just stay and pray. We'll serve communion at the altar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Make sure your heart is right. Don't you go out of this place. If it's pride, you come down to the altar. Hallelujah. I know how hard it is when you're known in the church. You're known for being spiritual. The humble yourself. It's hard. It's difficult. Otherwise, Satan takes advantage of us. Say, don't humble yourself and pray. People will see you praying. My people will humble themselves. Oh, God, help us, Lord. Be on our face before you. Weep between the porch and the altar. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask the ushers to come. If you want to pray, you keep on praying. We'll serve communion at the altar. I ask the ushers to come now and serve the communion. Hallelujah. Barakahandaya kisili arabahaya arabahandarabahashiliya. Oh, yes, Lord. Lord, make sure every heart is right. Draw near us in fire. Reveal the thoughts of the hearts. Oh, Jesus. I pray, Lord, this communion will be health to those that are sick, Lord. It's not your will that your people are sick. It's not your will. It's not your will. Oh, God, we take this communion in fear and trembling. Hallelujah, Lord. For we know the day of your visitation is at hand. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. The day of your visitation. Yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. The time to favor Zion has come, Lord. The set time has come. Oh, God. Make it real to our souls. Lord, sweep from us, Lord. Sweep from us, Lord, the lies of the world. The lies of the world. The death of the world. Take it from this church now in the name of Jesus. We stand against the darkness. We stand against the darkness. And we command it to leave this church in the name of Jesus the Lord. We stand against the spirit of deception. It's upon your church. We're all okay. And it's going to come out in the wash. And no one will be judged. Jesus, we stand against the darkness in the name of Jesus. We stand against that deception. And everyone that chooses the truth, Lord, we pray that that deception will be cleansed from their heart and mind. All the positive thinking, cleanse it from our heart and mind. All the compromise with the normal church, forgive us, Lord, for believing a lie. Yea, hath God said. We believe the lie of hell. Bring us back to the cross, Lord. Bring us back to repentance. Bring us back to cross-carrying obedience. Bring us back to the blood. Bring us back to a willingness to suffer with Christ that we may reign with Christ. Deliver us, Lord, from bondages to people, from making idols of people. Jesus, help us to come in alone to the place of judgment and stand before you, Lord, till our hearts are right. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. The time has come that judgment must begin in the household of God. Now, Lord, come and judge our hearts. Judge us, Lord, that we may be separate the precious from the vile. We may choose the good and reject the evil. Oh, yes, Lord, we need a spirit of judgment. We need discernment, Lord. We need to know the truth. Deliver from us the sorcery, Lord. The lightness, the flakiness, Lord, of those who would be extra spiritual. Deliver us from that thing, that delusion of hell. Lord, and try to make us all prophetesses and prophets and a sorcery. Deliver us from us, Lord, that we may be sober in the spirit, Lord, and know the difference between God and the devil. Hallelujah. God, put our feet on the ground. Hallelujah. 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 Deliver us, Lord, from the lightness and the foolishness and the sorcery and the uncleanness and the covetousness and the worldliness. Oh, God, in your mercy, cleanse us. We pray for Isaiah. Pierce our ears. Gold tried in the fire. White raiment that we may be clothed. Hallelujah. We pray, Lord, for these things, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus, Lord, as we're preparing our hearts, Lord, for your body that you gave, Lord, sown unto death, Lord, not occupied with the world, but giving yourself in obedience that we might have your body to eat and your blood to drink. And Lord, we pray that you will be present in this communion tonight as you have never been present before in our entire Christian life. Hallelujah. That this will be your body and your flesh, and we will take it as an oath before you, Lord, that we will live by your body and by your flesh. And we will come out of Sodom. Hallelujah. Not have to be dragged by the hand. Yes, Lord. And dilly-dally around. Flirt with the world. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes, Lord. We're reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Shall we hold the bread before the Lord? This is the body of Christ. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Jesus, be real to us. And we pray, Lord, it will judge us so that we will be cleansed and we will not be corrupted with the world, but we will be cleansed. Hallelujah. And let it begin with me, Lord. Let it begin with me. And let everything in my life that can be shaken be shaken. Hallelujah. Be shaken, Lord. I mean business. Hallelujah. That I may go forward into the furnace of God. Hallelujah. And walk there with the Son of God. This is my desire, Lord. Judge me. Shake me. Try me. Test me. Until I am perfect in your sight. Hallelujah. Let this be your body and your presence with me. Praise you. Shall we partake together? Praise God. Oh, the presence of God. The presence of Jesus. Hallelujah. Presence to heal, to bless, to judge, to purify. The presence of Jesus. Hallelujah. To save us from ourselves. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. To purify us from that which is not acceptable. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How wonderful. I feel Jesus' presence in the bread as I've never felt it before. I feel his presence. Presence. He's a present Lord. He is with us in the bread of the communion. And he hears what we're praying. He hears my prayer. He will shake me. He will judge me. I know that. And I thank God for it. May not be caught by surprise. Hallelujah. 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 After the same manner also he took the cup. Shall we hold the cup before Jesus? He's here tonight in this assembly so real. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Whosoever therefore shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of God.